And we back, DJ K Cash, Untouchable DJ Drastic, and the one and only Master Ace, Brooklyn representative in the building. What's good into it, my brother?
Good to be here.
What's good, man?
I drive past here all the time.
I know. You got to come through and let me know if you need a, if you want to see what MEC is really about. Student body is always on course. You dig?
Of course.
Definitely, man. One of my homies is about to get here. The one and only Reed Richards, and he was telling me some stories about when you guys used to go to Sheepshead Bay.
Oh, yeah. Who?
My boy Reed Richards, man. You gonna see him in 2 seconds, man. He was telling me how everything used to be real back in the, not even back in the day, in the real days of Sheepshead and the real Brooklyn days when a lot of these youths couldn't walk around with the jewelry and all this other stuff that these guys got used to. And I think this kind of bled into the music. That's why we had the music situation the way it is, man. How was it in Sheepshead, brother?
Sheepshead was cool. I mean, like for me, coming from Brownsville, I grew up in Brownsville, so, you know, that was a long bus ride.
What part of the Ville, if you don't mind me asking?
Howard Houses.
Howard Houses. Shout out to Howard in the building.
Howard, what up? So I used to take, you know, the 12 to the 44, and I was like, well over an hour bus ride.
Yeah, and I know you was like in another town when you went out there.
Yeah, it was different, but you know, that was my first time when I got to Sheepshead Bay. It was my first time, like, you know, going to school with white people, but it was a good thing because you need that. You know, you have to experience the world. You have to experience other cultures, other types of people, and that really got me ready, you know, to go off to college, being at a school like that.
What school did you go to, by any chance?
What college you mean?
Yeah.
University of Rhode Island.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. So you're a Rhode Island Ram. Graduated 4 years?
4 years. Graduated. Marketing degree.
Marketing degree. Yes. You see, all you MCs out there, B.
Need that.
That marketing degree. How did that help you get you to where you at? Please let these artists know, because sometimes they think by not coming to college, they're doing themselves some justice.
Yeah, it helped me immensely because when I got out, I had a clear understanding of what marketing was about, and all I had to do was apply it to the music business. So I was very conscious of packaging, logo, how it was presented, who the target audience was, how to reach that target audience.
And how to keep everything in cohesion. Because you know certain artists, the album is orange, the cover is a whole different color.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you learn in marketing, how everything goes and what part, even branding. Up to the point is where when you have shelf placements, where when you walk in certain stores, you know that your album is being first priority by where it is, whether it's iVision or it's on the bottom or it's on the top.
Yep. So all of those things helped me to market my records. When I was signed to Delicious Vinyl in like 92, 93, I was involved in all of the marketing decisions and meetings that took place for my project. Whereas most artists, they would just do the music, hand it over, and let the label figure out what was what. No, I wasn't that guy. I was like every step of the way, like, nah, I don't like that picture. We're not using that. We're gonna use this. This is the logo I want to go with. You know, I was real particular about how stuff looked and how it was presented. And you know, I think that came across to when people got the music.
That's real, man. That's real. So what did it take you after you left Rhode Island University? Did everything just happen right then and there? The music started to pop off or went on the ground?
During my junior year, Christmas break, I came home and it was probably like Christmas night, actually. They was having a rap contest in Queens at United States of America. And my boy Scooter Rockwell, big up Scooter.
The people where that's at, man, because you know them skating rings.
Oh, USA?
Yeah.
That's out there on 71st and Roosevelt. You got to get on like the 7 train or something. Like, I didn't really know where I was going back then. I was just getting on the train. But my man Scooter told me they was having a, you know, rap contest, and we rode out there on the train together. And I had a rhyme that I knew I wanted to spit for the contest, but it wasn't really memorized. So on the train ride out there, you know, I'm going over the rhyme in my head, messing up. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be bad right here. I'm gonna get on stage and just mess up a line. But you know what? That night was my first time ever being on stage by myself as an MC. I had always been in groups and crews, and I stepped on stage, and I guess the adrenaline, the fear of failing, all of that, put me so on point that I hit every line, and I wound up winning the contest, and the crowd went crazy. It was crazy. And that was really the beginning for me. That's how it all got started for me. The first prize in winning that contest was 6 hours of studio time with Marley Marl. So it took me a year. It wasn't until I graduated after my senior year that I actually got in touch with Marley and got my studio time. Like, I was persistent. Every time I came home from a break, I was calling the number that they gave me. I spoke to his sister maybe 20 times, like, you know, he's not home. I didn't give up. You know, it got to the point where she knew me. She hear my voice. Hey, what's up, Ace?
Yeah. Marley, that's real, you know, man. You got to be persistent. A lot of artists think that you call people, they going to pick up. Yeah. Everything don't revolve around you, my brothers. Yeah. Even though you were artists, even though you may be having your music popping, everything does not revolve around you. And you got to learn how you got to work on other people's time and make it work for your time.
It took me a year to finally get in touch with him, and It was only because his sister started feeling sorry for me, you know, after a year of phone calls, that she was like, yo, here's his real number. You know what I mean? She gave me the real number. And then that's when he allowed me to come in and record my first demo. And based on that demo, he felt like I had skills, and he asked me to be a part of his compilation album, Marley Marl and Control Volume 1. And eventually I got on the symphony, and then history was off and running.
There it is.
That's what's up, man. Tell us a little about the history of you and the Juice Crew.
Well, I mean, for me, it was always about trying to prove that I belong. You know, being on a label with so many big name artists. You got Big Daddy Kane, you got Kool G Rap, you got MC Shan, you got Craig G, you got Biz Markie. You know, I mean, I was like surrounded by talent, surrounded by people that had careers and big records and were popping on the street straight up. Like, they was like popping on the street. So the whole step of the way for me was just everything that I did musically. I was just trying to prove that I had the skills, that I belonged in that crew. And so that's why everything you hear me spitting, like, I'm trying to really go in because I'm trying to, you know, prove something.
That's what's up, man. Can you give us a little about the EMC movement that you got going on?
Yeah, well, that took place. Really, it was created over the course of, I would say, from 2001 until, man, like 2006. These guys, Wordsworth, Punchline, and Strickland, have toured with me. Either one, two, or all three have been touring with me since I dropped Disposable Arts in 2001. So we, over the course of those years, built a chemistry. You got used to seeing us on stage together, seeing us perform together, and it was just kind of a natural progression into, you know, doing an album. And we went in and we did one record just to kind of see what people had to say about it. We threw that out there on the internet for people to download for free. And it was overwhelming response to the record, and people was ready for us to do this album. So we went in, you know, and it was opportunity for me to link with some kind of younger cats in the game and recharge my battery, feed off of their young energy, and you know, I knew I had to be on top of my game because all these guys are talented. So it kept me on point as an MC, and it allowed me to kind of mix and mingle with, you know, some of the newer generation of cats that was coming up.
Let me ask you a question, Ace. Of all the projects that you put together, what was your favorite? What was your favorite album?
My favorite album is Disposable Arts. I don't even have to hesitate on that. It was because of the what was taking place in my life at the time that I did that record, what was going on in my career at the time that I did that record, and the fact that, you know, nobody, and when I say nobody, I stress nobody, thought that it was possible for me to do anything that sounded anything halfway decent. So I had all of the motivation that I needed to go in there and try to put together a great record and just show people that it's not, you know, I wanted to break the rules. The rules was like, yo, you know, when you hit a certain age and certain amount of records and you ain't putting nothing out in a while, you need to just kind of, you know, break out, go somewhere, get a job, do something regular. And
wasn't having it.
I just decided I was going to try to, you know, break that rule and buck the system. And I put out a record and caught a lot of people off guard. Nobody thought the record was going to be the way it was. And You know, so when I listen back to that record, I remember how I was feeling when I was writing those songs. I was going to the gym every day, writing in the gym, you know, with the CD Walkman on. That was, I didn't even have an iPod then, just straight CD Walkman.
I still have a CD Walkman. I don't,
you know what I'm saying? Listening to beats.
That's real. That's real. I got one more question for you, my brother, before I pass it over for the last question from DJ Drastic. If you left this earth today,
God forbid, of course.
What would you want the fans to remember Master Ace by? What music and what do they want? What do you want the fans to kind of remember you by?
I want them to remember the entire catalog, all five albums, and these spinoff records. Because all of it, all of these things are part of building a story, building a career, building a legacy. You know, people, you know, sometimes I go places and people use terms like legend and legendary and icon and things like that. And, you know, I feel like I'm still working to be, to become that and be that. So I want people to look at the entire catalog, and then I want them to look at the records that I did outside of my albums. There's a lot of records that I did outside of my albums that people don't know about or didn't hear, where I did some real interesting things lyrically. I was always experimenting lyrically and trying to do things. To do things out of side of the box, and you know, there's examples of that that are out there in the marketplace. If you're on the internet and you search around, you find some cool records.
I got two questions for you, Ace. One time, tell me what it was like, or tell us what it was like to film the Sitting on Chrome music video. Because the Sitting on Chrome music video, I remember they only used to come on at 2:30 in the morning.
I had to.
And it was something that we look forward to. It's like, you know, we got to get the Sitting on Chrome on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the time, it was only a couple of videos like that.
Yeah.
So tell me, what was the inspiration to do that, and what was the vibe at that time? Or
the inspiration was really off of the Born to Roll video, because I did the Born to Roll video out in L.A., and then we had what we called the bikini version of the Born to Roll video, which was pretty much only the shots of the bikini contest and the girls up there on the stage. So that was kind of like the first little taste of it. But then the response to the bikini video was so crazy. Like, we mailed that video out to all the DJs. Like, here's a little T&A for y'all to just kind of vibe off of. And the response was so crazy that, you know, it kind of put me in, said, well, when I do Sitting on Chrome, I'm gonna go further with it. I'm gonna go X-rated with it just to have fun with it. You know, back then, you know, I was younger. I was the strip club scene was something that I kind of frequented a little bit. And you know, we was all kind of wilding out. We was all single and, you know, enjoying ourselves and having a good time. So the strip club thing was something that we did. So we shot that video partially in Virginia, at Virginia Beach, and partially in Philly. We actually created and threw our own strip club party. Red Alert was actually there that night. That's the funny thing. But we, you know, we invited some professional ladies down to come and dance. And we filmed it like it was a regular strip club party. And to tell that story. And it was an incredible video. It was an incredible night after the video. Dudes had a really interesting time after that.
I could imagine. Would you do another explicit X-rated video?
No, I think I've, you know, run my course with that stuff. I'm a different person now than I was then. You know, I'm married now. I got a 5-year-old daughter. So my head is not really that. I feel like I've done that, and I'm cool with that. Like, that's one thing I can never say. Like, you know, sometimes guys, they get married and then they got all these regrets. Like, I wish I would have, you know, I didn't get to do this, or I missed this, I missed that. I did it heavy and hard for a good period of time, to the point where I'm good. Like, I don't have to ever go on a strip club again, and I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't miss strip clubs. Like, that's where I'm at with it.
I think that's something that just comes with age and just
definitely
experience, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Age, maturity. Like,
and I remember No Regrets on Disposable Arts,
yeah,
which is one of my favorite cuts on there.
Good looking.
For sure.
And that's what's up, man. We gonna wrap this up right now and get into the digging in the crates. I'm going to thank my man right here, Master Ace, Brownsville representative, Brooklyn representative, of course, Sheepshead Bay into his house.
And we're going to play a few of the cuts from the album. We're going to play a few of the cuts when we come back.
When we come back, we're going to get into them cuts.
Yeah.
So, my man, for one, this is Later from my homeboy, as always, Radio Nation Club, DJ K Cash.
Untouchable DJ Drastic, as New York City. See, we repping. This is a Brooklyn connection going on right
exactly,
here.
Exactly, man.
You feel me?
From
the
Flat-
strongest borough.
And we heard from Flatbush to Bay Ridge to downtown Brooklyn, and we online now, so listen in. Master Ace, any last shout-outs you want to give before we get out of here?
Nah, just, yo, look for that EMC 2 coming in 2010, for sure. Look for me and Edo G on tour somewhere near you real soon. And, yo, come see us at Southport December 22nd. It's going to be crazy.
We're going to make sure we promote that for you hard we body right there.
Let me ask you a question, Kato. Kato, why you always defer to my hometown as Bay Ridge?
I don't defer to it as Bay Ridge, man. We just talking about where I'm from Flatbush. I claim Flatbush hard body.
From, be clear, Brooklyn. I'm from that whole side. Like, you go Park Slope, Sunset, Bay Ridge. You go up Dyker Heights, Bensonhurst, Coney Island.
Hey, so somebody asked you where you was from. Where you saying?
Really? I said Brownsville.
Brownsville. And somebody asked me, I'm from East Flatbush.
I'm from
East Flatbush.
Southwest
Brooklyn. My bad. Southwest Brooklyn representative.
Drastic claiming like five neighborhoods.
Exactly.
I got it tattooed on my body. I could do it.
Whatever. Exactly, man. And special shout outs to Ed, the OG, yeah, Boston's representative, for calling in.
I'm going shopping downtown Crossing in a minute. I know about it.
Beantown, we going to root for the Celtics tonight, except for against the Magic. And we going to get out of here right now. DJ K Cash, DJ Drastic, Master Ace, Ed, the OG.
Appreciate y'all.
We in the building, yep. And we out. One.
All right.